service today, so I really don't want to shortcut it too much. And I must say, I love every time I come to Coomera that you have time to be able to greet each other and speak with each other, because we often say when it comes to church, the gospel is that we've been welcomed in and through Jesus into the family of God. And so to have time to let people know if you're new, you're welcome. We're so happy to have you with us is a great thing. But if you're perhaps new today and you're wondering, who am I? My name is Will, and I'm the minister at Liberty Mermaid Beach, and I get the privilege of getting to be here with you in the Advent series to open God's Word in the second part of it. And if you have a Bible, I'd love it if you could open that up. We're going to be in Luke's Gospel today. And as many of you have been coming will know, the series that we're doing in and through Advent, which is the time of year where we really come to celebrate Jesus' birth and anticipate, not just celebrate the first coming, but also anticipate his second coming. But throughout this series, we're looking at an angel's view of Christmas. And if you're perhaps new to Christianity, the Christian faith, and wondering a bit about, well, why are we looking at an angel's view of Christmas? It's because when it comes to Christmas time, we often look at things from our own perspective. We see things how we see things. But in the Bible, we're presented with angels. And angels are predominantly messengers of God. And when it comes to the Bible, you'll find them in and throughout all of it. But there's nowhere where they feature as much as in the Christmas narrative. They're all through the Christmas narrative. And last week we looked at what is it that angels long to see? And we saw that angels long to look into the good news of the gospel. They long to look into what we often look past, the good news of Jesus coming to live for us, die for us, and rise again. And today we're going to look at what it is angels want to say to us, what it is angels want to tell us about Christmas. And so as we begin, I thought it'd be helpful for us to begin by taking a moment to think. If right now someone was to come up to you off the street and ask you the question, tell me, what is it that Christmas is all about? Think about if you had just a sentence, you could share a sentence with them about what it is Christmas is about. Think for a moment, what is it you would say? What would you say Christmas is about in a sentence? And the reason I ask everyone to think about that is because about 20 years ago when I was working in a factory cabinet making, I was like, had gone during my break to have our smoker to a local shop, and I sat down there with another gentleman who'd come to have lunch, and he worked at a factory that was opposite where I was working. He was an Australian. He lived in Australia his whole life. And we were sitting over our smoker break eating food, and I was pretty new to the Christian faith at this point. I'd been in church probably around 3 years. And we were sitting down and we were talking about Christmas. It was that time of year. We're saying, Christmas is great. We were both looking forward to holidays and some time off from our jobs. And he said to me, he said, you know, when it comes to Christmas, I love Christmas, Will. I love the fact that we get to have holidays. I love the festivity. I love the food. And he said, but you know what? I don't really understand what exactly is Christmas all about. And I have to tell you, I was quite caught off guard at that point in time. I was like, you lived in Australia your whole life and you didn't even know what Christmas is about, and he didn't know what Christmas was about at all. And he said, well, so I don't really know what is Christmas all about. And in that moment, I had an opportunity to just tell him, this is what Christmas is all about. And sadly, I stalled. I was caught off guard. I didn't really know what to say. And at that point in time, there was no lifelines, right? I couldn't call a friend and say, hey, look, I'm with someone who's asking me about Christmas and I need a hand. I didn't have that opportunity. And I remember fumbling my way through and saying, oh, well, Christmas is kind of like, it's about Jesus, and speaking about a heap of things, speaking for way longer than I probably needed to. And graciously, he listened. And then we finished our smoker break, and he went off, and I went off. And I thought to myself, I really wish I better knew how to tell someone what Christmas is all about in a short, succinct way. I just wish I knew how to do that better, because I find when it comes to sharing our faith with people, everyone wants to have the time that it takes to share a sermon, but often all we get is the time to share a sentence. And I thought it'd be really good to think about that. And then years later, I was reading the Gospel of Luke. And in the Gospel of Luke, you read an encounter between an angel and a group of shepherds. And as I was reading it years later, I saw an angel come to a group of shepherds and share in a sentence what it is Christmas is all about. And that's the passage I want to look at today. What it is angels want to say. We'll be in Luke's gospel. We're going to be reading from chapter 2. If you're perhaps new to the Bible today new to Christianity today, I want to thank you for giving up time to be with us. And the gospel that we're looking at today, the purpose of it being written is actually revealed at the very start of it, in the first four verses. The writer of this gospel, Luke, says, the reason I'm writing this is so that people might have certainty about Jesus, who he is, and what he came to do. That's the whole point of it. And so if you're new to the Bible, the Gospel of Luke is a great place to start. And I'm sure plenty of the stories contained within the historical accounts of what happened you'll be familiar with as you read along. So that's the point of it. A little bit of context before we jump into where we're at. So far in Luke's Gospel, an angel has appeared to Mary and said that although she was a virgin, she would conceive a child by the power of God, and that child would be great. He would be the Son of the Most High God, and of his kingdom there would be no end. And in today's passage, as we work through it, we're going to see the arrival of Jesus Christ, how it is Jesus came into the world. We'll see his arrival. And then we're going to see an angelic announcement about Jesus Christ, followed by how it is the shepherds responded to that announcement. So that's what we'll look at today, three points as we go through it. But if you have your Bible open, I will read our passage for us today. This is God's word. Luke chapter 2, verse 1, says, "In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. And he went to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.' When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them." This is God's word. And we pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to this time to engage with you in and through your word, we thank you are a God who speaks and you speak to us in and through your word. And I pray that as we open up your word and read from it today, you would draw near to us in and through your word. We would hear from you, we would sense you, and you would speak powerfully and profoundly to each and every one of our lives. We ask this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Well, the passage really is broken up into three sections, like I said. You see the arrival of Jesus at the beginning. You see an announcement of Jesus in the middle section. And then we see how people responded to that announcement at the end. And it begins at the start by telling us about the arrival of Jesus Christ. And the first thing you note about the birth of Jesus is that it's historical. Like the gospel writer Luke doesn't begin once upon a time in a galaxy far, far away. He doesn't begin the story like that because it's actually a real historical story. And so he begins with, "In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria and all went to be registered, each to his own town." This is a historical event. You can see this today in history books. This happened. And that's what Luke wants us to know. When it comes to the arrival of Jesus Christ, what does he want us to be certain about? It's a real historical event. It happened. It happened. Jesus' birth is a historical event, and this is what was happening in the world when he was born. But not only that, Luke also wants us to know that when it came time for Jesus, the Son of God, the King of Heaven, to be born, his birth was not marked by rejoicing, nor was it marked by royal splendor. Jesus' birth is marked by poverty obscurity and rejection. When the King of Heaven came into the world, not only was there no royal reception waiting for him, but the reality was when Jesus was born, he couldn't even get a room. The Son of God, the King of Heaven, comes into earth. And what is his birth marked by? Not rejoicing in royal splendor, but rejection. There was no place for them in the inn. John 1:1 says he came to his own and his own people did not receive him. You know, as I was thinking about this, I was thinking, surely not. Surely this is not the type of welcome that Jesus, the Son of God, deserved to receive when he entered into the world. Surely Jesus deserved to have every person from every nation come and worship him on that day. Surely Jesus deserved to have every creature from the entire universe, from the fiercest lion to the tiniest dust mite, come to his cradle and give him praise, their maker. In the moment when Jesus entered the world, the mountains should have bowed, the trees should have clapped, the ocean should have roared, and the rocks should have cried out in joy. Friends, that is not what happened. Instead of that happening, Jesus, the King of Heaven, was pushed out in an outhouse. And the reality is mankind's done their best to keep him there ever since. Jesus' arrival into this world was not glamorous. It was not glorious. It was inglorious. However, as we read on, we see that God would see to it that this birth would not go unnoticed. This birth was about to be announced to someone. I have three children. My wife Lee and I have two boys and a baby girl. And I tell you what, when we had our children, that was something we announced to people when it happened. We wanted people to know. And note that when it comes to this story, God wants people to know. So let me ask the question, who would you tell? You're having a child, you've had a child, who do you tell? Loved ones, people who are special, dear to you, close to you, who do you tell? And we'll see in the story who it is that God tells. God sends an angelic messenger to make known the arrival of his son. And whom does the angel come to make it known to, we read? To shepherds. Shepherds. Now, in our day and age, we tend to romanticize shepherds. Jesus, you know, the great shepherd. And so we think about shepherds and we think shepherds are these glorious figures. But in ancient days, that just was not so. One commentator writing about shepherds and their place in history and where it was in these times writes, shepherds lived out in fields, which meant they were unable to keep the ceremonial law, making them unclean. They were also regarded as liars and thieves, making their testimony inadmissible in a court of law. With the exception of lepers, shepherds were the lowliest class of men in Israel. I put it this way, when shepherds were around, things went missing. Like if you had a daughter, you did not want her to date a shepherd. Out of all people that God could have told about the arrival of his son, who does he choose to tell? He chooses to tell shepherds. He chooses to tell nobodies. And think about this for a moment. Their names aren't even recorded. Nobody's. And what a wonderful picture of grace this is, right? God chooses to reveal himself and announce his son's arrival, not to somebody's, but to less than average nobodies. And that is the gospel of grace. And what exactly was the announcement the angel brought to these shepherds? What was it the angel wanted to say? What was it the angel wanted to tell these shepherds about Christmas? We read verse 10. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Good news of great joy for all people, a Savior. Friends, that is the Christmas message. That is the Christian message. That is exactly what Christmas is all about. It is about good news of great joy to all people, a Savior. A Savior. And I like it as it breaks this down because he says this is good news of great joy for all people. So there's a sense where the good news of Jesus coming, that's good news universally for everyone. Like this news is universal, but did you catch it at the same time? It's also personal. It's good news of great joy for all people, all types, all races, all nationalities. It doesn't matter who you are and where you come from. This is good news for all people. It's universal, and at the same time, it's personal. It's unto you. Like when you think about the gospel and the good news of Christ's birth, that's a gift that everyone receives. Yet when you look under the Christmas tree, it's a gift that also personally has your name written on the tag, unto you. A Savior is born. And if you're wondering what the good news of great joy is, that's what it is. The good news which brings great joy is there is a Savior that has been born. A Savior who has personally come to rescue and save us, which begs the question, rescue and save us from what? From the consequences of our sin. From the consequences of turning away from God. And if you're here today and sin, in our day and age, sin, like a lot of people don't like to hear that word. And you may be here today and you kind of go, I just hate that word and I wish you wouldn't use it. But the understanding of what that means is important. Because we often think of sin, and when we think of sin, I'm interested to know what comes into our brain. Because the essence of sin is really sin is turning away from God. That's what it is. We see it in the beginning when Adam and Eve turn away from God. And what happens in that moment is they go, in this moment here, God loves us. He's created everything. He's given us everything. And he's asked us not to do one thing. But in one moment, they were deceived in time. And a serpent said, you don't need to listen to that. You can actually be like God. Why listen to God when you can be God? Why live according to his rules when you can make your own rules? Run your own race. And that's what sin is at the heart. It's a turning away from God. Isaiah 53 says this, we all like sheep have turned astray. Each of us have turned to our own way. Our own way. And there's consequences for that. And Jesus came to save us from those consequences, the consequences of death, physically and spiritually, the consequences of being separated from a loving, living God. The good news of great joy is there is a Savior who has come, and we celebrate him at Christmas. And it's not just good news, it's the greatest news there's ever been. And you can tell it's the greatest news that's ever been when you look at the response it gets from the heavenly host. Let me read it for you. Verse 13, and suddenly after he announces it, it says, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. You know, you can tell how good news is by the kind of response it gets. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever announced something and had a whole angelic heavenly host appear and start singing and praising God? Like when Luke writes this, he wants us to be certain that this isn't just good news of great joy, it's the best news that's ever been. And that's the reason for that response. Like the angels are the only ones in this scenario that respond appropriately. Like when the angel says Christmas in a sentence, what do you want? You want to know what it is? It's good news of great joy for all people. A Savior's been born, and angels literally can't help but break forth in song at the sounding forth of that news. I don't know how you picture that, but I just think that's amazing. It's kind of like when the angel said it, I'm sure that he was kind of like, I was expecting more from the shepherds in this moment. And heaven's like, we better break into this moment, guys. This just is not fitting. Come on. And they roll on in and they break out. Glory to God. Glory to God. All of heaven can't help but break into this moment with songs of praise at the sounding forth of this good news. And then you have to imagine this for a moment. If you're the shepherds in the field and you're seeing an angel appear to you and say this, there has to be a point where you go, am I hallucinating, right? Is this really happening? And just in case the shepherds think they are hallucinating, the angel says that he will give them a sign. Now see that, that's what he says. I will give you a sign so that they might know that what he's saying is actually true. He says the sign is they will find the Christ lying in a manger. And the question is, so how are the shepherds going to respond to this good news of great joy? The good news of great joy that a Savior has been born. How will they respond to that? And we read verse 15. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. So the first things these shepherds do in response to what they've heard is they investigate the angel's claims. They look into it. And you know, if you're here looking into the Christian faith today, that's what I'd encourage you to do. If you're here hearing this for the first time, rather than brush it off, I'd encourage you, like the shepherds, to look on into it. It might seem quite out there what I'm saying today. Really? Come on, really? And I would say to you, hey, in hearing this, my advice would be you look into it. You have a look into it and see, which begs the question, where exactly should you look into it? Okay, so Will, I want to look into the Christian faith. Where exactly should I do that? And I would tell you, if you want to look into who Jesus is and what he came to do, well, you should look for him and search him out in the scriptures. In the Bible's where you'll find out about Jesus more than anywhere else. You'll find him in history. Make no mistake about that. He is recorded all through history. All historians in history, Josephus writes about him. See people all throughout history that mention Jesus that aren't even Christians. But if you want to know all about him, the best place you should go to search into him and look into what he's like is the Bible, is the Gospels. It's the Gospels. Martin Luther once said, Scripture is the cradle of the Christ. If you want to find Jesus, then go to the Bible. Because it's in the Bible that not only you'll find Jesus, but it's in the Bible that you'll be found by Jesus. And if you doubt that, if you think, oh, come on, mate, really? I just have you think about this for a moment. Do you really think that these shepherds were expecting to find the Savior of the world in a feeding trough? Do you really think they thought, wow, yeah, Savior, well, he's going to be in a feeding trough? No way. And yet that's exactly where he was. Scripture is the cradle of Christ, and unlikely as it may seem to you today, that is exactly where we find Jesus, and that is where we are to look for Jesus. It says, when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And so we see that when they finally hear about this, they look into it and discover, wow, this is real. They can't help but share, make known the testimony of what had happened. Now, when you receive the good news of great joy to all people that a Savior's been born, you can't help but want to share that with other people. And you know, when it comes to Christmas time, this is a time where opportunities do arise to talk about our faith. And I would love us to kind of be prepared for that, to think about if I could share it in a sentence. And think about it. If you could share it in a sentence, you can actually have an angelic lifeline. If you were to go to an angel and go, I need to tell this guy right now what Christmas is all about, you know what the angel would say? It's about good news of great joy for all people. Unto you a Savior's born. You tell them that. It's exactly what the angel tells these people. But Christmas time is a time where we can share our testimony about this good news of great joy. And I just say, think about this for a moment. When it comes to a testimony and sharing about the good news of Jesus, a testimony isn't an opportunity for us to talk further about ourselves. Because sometimes that's what testimonies are. People go, I'm going to share my testimony. And the testimony is just us talking about ourselves. But do you notice what it is the shepherds want to make known? They wanted to make known the saying they'd been told. They wanted to make known what they had heard about Jesus. And friends, when it comes to a testimony, I would encourage you, yeah, you can tell people where you were in your life when you came to believe in Jesus, but just make sure when it comes to our testimony that the testimony is used to point to Jesus. This is where I was in my life when I came to realize that Jesus really was the Son of God, who came and lived a perfect life and died for my sins in my place. This was the stage of my life. And since I've come to know that and believe that and trust in that, this is what life looks like now following Jesus. Exactly some of what we just heard before at the baptism. Now, I had to shed a tear this morning when that baptism happened. We had a baptism planned today as well at Mermaid Beach. Our baptisms, however, we do at the beach. And today was pretty tumultuous in the ocean. So, I mean, we got there and all the congregation came, huge turnout, and Alfred Street. And we looked at it and thought, if we baptize Mitch here at Mermaid, he's probably going to come up at Broad Beach. And so we better hold this one until next week. And I seeing that baptism is just, it's special. It's a sacrament. And I thought, oh, wow, we're going to do this next week. Wow, so special. But once you receive the good news of great joy, what we see is you can't help but share it with others. You have to. These guys hear about it, they see it's real, and they've got to tell other people. And I think it'd be a great thing for us to be praying that God would grant us some timely opportunities over this Christmas to share the good news of great joy for all people, that in Jesus, God's drawn near. And Jesus has come to rescue and restore people into right relationship with God. And in sharing that with people, you might find that you have different responses to that. And I kind of like that in this story. You see a couple of different responses. We see that in verse 18, once they make known what the angels had made known to them, verse 18 says, "And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them." That was, they were struck with awe over it. They were like, "That's amazing." And yet you read on verse 19, it says, "But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart." And you know, when it comes to sharing our faith, people's response to that will be different. Like some people, you share the good news of Jesus and they're just in awe of that. You know, this is amazing. They hear the good news of great joy for all people that a Savior's been born. And they go, "Oh my gosh, I've been waiting to hear this news all my life and I need to trust in Jesus Christ and I want to follow him." But there are other people, when they hear it, they're not so quick. They're not struck with awe and amazement. Some people need to ponder it. And I'll just let you know, if you're here looking into the faith, I want you to know I am not here to manipulate you and try and force you to make a decision today. That is not my purpose. Whether you're here and you're struck with wonder and amazement, you think this is great news, and some of us are here might be, or whether you go, "You know what, that's really good, but I want to think on this some more and look into it," that's fine. It's fine. If you need to ponder it, ponder it. Continue to think on it, look on it. And I love that. You see that with Mary. And Mary was convinced Jesus, she'd already had an angelic encounter. And yet in the midst of hearing further information about this, still she's got to process. She needs to ponder. She has to think about this. Wow. And so if you need to ponder today, I want to invite you to go do that. Please do that. Feel free to do that. And lastly, we see that after the shepherds saw and told what had happened, the last thing we see is that they praised. Verse 20, "The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them." So the shepherds didn't just give witness to what it was they had seen and heard. They also worshipped because of what it was they had seen and heard. And I hope that will be the response of many of us today who are Christians. In the midst of hearing about what it is that angels want to say, good news of great joy for all people, a Savior, that would lead us to want to give witness to other people about this good news, which brings great joy, the news of Jesus as a Savior. And at the same point, that would lead us to want to worship our Savior as well. That in looking at what we're looking at today, it would lead us to want to glorify and praise God for what has been made known to us. And my hope is this Christmas that we'll take as many opportunities as we can to celebrate and give glory to God in and through this season. And whether that's as we corporately gather together in our congregations, whether that's in our families, in smaller little gatherings with other people, extended family or friends, that we would take time to really celebrate Jesus and to worship him in and through this time and make the most of what this season is, which isn't just holidays, rest, rejuvenation, and a lot of food and gifts, that this is a time for us to worship and glorify God and give thanks for him sending his only son, Jesus Christ, into the world. So I hope we take as many opportunities as we can to do that with church, family, our family and friends over Christmas. And you know, as we wind up today, if you're perhaps looking into the Christian faith, you just happen to be here today, I don't think it's a chance. I think it's providence. I think God has brought you in here and he's been behind the scenes the whole time. And he's brought you here today. And if you're looking into the Christian faith, I think the reason you're here today is because God has a message he wants to tell you. And do you know what that message is? It's good news of great joy for all people, but especially today unto you. Because today we celebrate a Savior who's been born, Jesus Christ, who came to live for us perfectly in our place, die for our sins, save us from the consequences of our sins, and to rise again so that we might know who he is, and that he is who he said he was, and that everything he said is real, and that we might begin to trust in him and follow him. And you know, Luke actually wrote this gospel so you could have certainty about that today. Certainty. And so if you're here today looking to the Christian faith, I would encourage you today, If you need to think about this some more, think about it some more. If you want to have some conversations, please do that. Come, speak after the service. Talk to the friends that brought you. If you want things to read, find out. We're happy to say, hey, here's some areas you can look into. But perhaps today you don't need to ponder it. You're just struck with wonder, awe, and amazement at the good news you've heard about Jesus Christ. And today, if that's you, I would beckon you to turn to Jesus, trust in Jesus, that he is who he said he is, that he did what he did for you, and begin following him today. Why don't we bow our heads, close our eyes as we conclude our time in God's Word. What is it that angels long to say? Father, it's good news of great joy for all people, that unto us a Savior has been born. And Father, my prayer is,